Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Whoa, 15 missed calls. Somebody's blowing me up. I'm Adam.
Getting burned alive while trying to save my phone? There's an app for that. I'm Andy.
In this picture, I want to look electric. I'm Kelly.
We can confirm the phone involved in the accident was not a Nokia product. But if you would like a Nokia product, just visit your local Verizon store for great low, low deals. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about smartphones.
I got one of those.
Yeah, odds are, everyone's listening to this on one right now.
My rotary phone disagrees.
Adam listens to podcasts on his rotary phone, but he has to dial up like every 5 seconds.
It comes through in Morse code. Etymology of smartphone. Smart comes from Old English schmorten.
Ooh.
Oh, schmorten.
Which strangely means a pain or ache.
Okay.
Up until, I don't know, 50 years ago, if you like banged your knee, you'd say,
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. That was the original source of the word. And then in the 1300s, it started to become associated with clever because language. And phone comes from Greek phone, which means sound.
Okay. Ah.
I did not know that was so straightforward.
So it's like phonograph.
It's a hurt sound.
Yep. So we're talking about painful sounds. There is a phobia of phones. Telephonophobia is the fear of talking on the phone.
How far back does that go?
Can't be
400 years.
Yeah. It originated with Edison. Bell. Bell.
I mean, how good would you feel if you created a phobia, though?
First to have it or the first to identify it?
Well, like Alexander Graham Bell invented a device that people became afraid of.
Ah, I see.
I feel like that's right up there with opening Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let one more evil into the world.
So, science of smartphones, I feel like I don't need to explain this, but they're pocket-sized computers what talk to satellites to tell you how many quarts are in a gallon because the imperial measurement system is dumb.
Yes.
And they're not very good at being phones.
Yeah, not especially.
I cannot tell you how many measurements I look up on my phone.
Yeah, I just did that like yesterday.
Yep, that's what they're for. So we're on to our acid pop quiz. True or false? More people own smartphones than toothbrushes.
Ooh. I'm going to say true, and here's the thing, is that I know that a lot of people spend money on stupid, like, vanity stuff before they spend money on personal hygiene.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, but... Kids have toothbrushes before they have cell phones.
That's
what I was thinking, too.
I'm going to say there's more toothbrushes.
Kids ain't people.
Yeah. So this is true. Granted, there hasn't exactly been a census of smartphones and toothbrushes, but there's an estimated 3.7 billion people in the world with smartphones and 3.5 billion with toothbrushes.
Does this count people who own more than one cell phone?
I think it does. Yeah, which is another thing. Like,
people... Does it count people who have more than one toothbrush?
Yeah, what about, like, two toothbrushes?
I have, like, six.
That's because you're a hoarder.
One for each tooth.
I did see this statistic several places, but I could not find a source, so take that one with a grain of salt. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Yeah. So true or false, smartphones are accelerometers and gyroscopes, but do they have barometers?
I do not believe they do, so I'm going to go with false.
Yeah, I wouldn't...
I don't think it can take the temperature because it's...
Oh, no, the barometer wouldn't be like a thermometer.
Oh, no, it's a pressure sensor.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go with false.
What about, like, the touchscreen? Does that have anything to do with pressure?
Sometimes.
Well, that wouldn't be a barometer. Barometer is specifically air pressure.
Right. I don't think so.
I was just trying to think of any way a barometer might be tied into it. I don't think they would.
Yeah, that doesn't seem useful. I mean, useful if you specifically needed it, but not to phones in general. So I'm going to say no.
If they had barometers, it'd put the weatherman out of a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is interesting. This is true for the most part.
Weird.
Since 2011, barometers have become more and more standard in phones, though apparently they're not super accurate. And this is a sort of a weird thing because basically the engineers put them in without really having a goal in mind. They just thought it might become useful someday.
We can fit it in there and we'll figure it out later.
Yeah, basically. So still, if there was a like Waze equivalent for weather, we could get some crazy accurate weather reports.
Yeah.
And some people are working on that now, but the technology is just getting started. So maybe in the future we'll have basically every smartphone in the world is taking weather measurements and we can get weather more accurately than we've ever seen.
I do love Waze.
Yeah.
Adam, we need to tell you right now. Adam has a Windows phone. Waze is a navigation program that tells you if the police are there, if there's like a breakdown on the road.
Oh.
Though, if you use Google Maps, they bought Waze, so they're basically the same thing these days.
Tell me more about your space phones, future man.
So true or false, they also have a compass.
Okay, so here's a thing that I've always wondered. My phone has a compass.
Does it?
It has a compass installed, but does it actually have a compass if I'm not connected to anything?
Like, when you say, does my phone have a compass, do you mean like a magnetic compass?
Right.
Yeah. I'm asking, if you had it disconnected from any networks, could it tell you which way north is?
I'm going to say false. I've always wondered this.
I'm
going to
say no.
Yeah, it seems like something they just get from the satellite or whatever.
So this is true.
Damn.
Phones also have a magnetometer.
Is there anything they can't do?
Not much.
And it's also got a gun, so watch out.
Well, I have to tell my wife this when she gets home tonight, because I've always wondered, is it just telling me north because it's connected to the internet and knows where I am?
Yeah, it's actually the other way around, because no matter how good you triangulate someone's position based on their GPS, it can't really tell you which way they're facing. So the phone figures out which way north is, and then the GPS uses that information to figure out which way you're pointing.
Andy, it's a bit strange, the questions that keep you up at night.
I have a lot of questions that keep me
up at
night.
And it's a magnetic compass, not like the gyroscope compass.
Right. And so a lot of phones have a magnetic sensor, and there are some apps where you can use to like find, you know, nails and walls or things because your phone has a built-in magnet.
Huh. Oh, that's fun. Mm-hmm.
This is a neat little guy I have in my pocket.
So true or false, there is a sniffer dog for detecting cell phones.
What does a cell phone smell like?
Let's get the dog in here.
Adam?
It smells like my pocket.
Yeah.
smells like
a face.
Sure, dogs can smell anything. I'm sure they can smell magnetic barometric pressure sensing phones.
I'm sure you can, but what would be the purpose of a dog that can find cell phones? Bombs, maybe?
Keep the Trump White House from leaking so much.
Well, and like I was about to say, Manafort had a bunch of people smuggling in shit, so I'm going to say true.
This seems like sort of a police state sort of thing.
Yeah.
Let's say true.
Yes, this is true. A Springer Spaniel named Murphy at the Norwich Prison in East Anglia, UK, has been trained to detect cell phones on incoming prisoners who could use them to coordinate escapes and drug trafficking in the prison.
Yep.
Or to look up dank memes on the internet.
Well, what else would you use it for?
Like Angry Birds.
Have you seen this thing where it's like, is it a pigeon?
What does the barometer say right now?
I feel like I could win that game. And we're on to our fill in the blank. So what percentage of phones end their lives being broken or lost?
Oh, I bet that's a small number.
Yeah.
Yep. You think so?
I'm doing a straight 50%.
Ooh.
I feel like phones
encounter
death by battery.
I worked in a cell phone store for 3 years.
Yeah.
All I saw was broken cell phones.
Yeah, it seems like a skewed vision, though. Like, yeah. I've never had a broken cell phone.
Yeah, I've never lost one to breaking it.
I've never lost one, but the only reason I get rid of them is when they don't work anymore.
Right. But we're talking breaking, like, not like the phone stops working, but you drop it and it screen shatters sort of thing.
I mean, I feel like that happens a lot, but then people get the cases a lot.
It's true. Not that that helps all that much.
I'm going to say 5%.
5.
50. Straight 50.
I was going to say 60.
Wow. Well, it's actually 33%.
Yeah.
So one in three.
Third.
Yep.
It's much higher than I expected, obviously.
As far as I can tell, this piece of data comes from basically Verizon and people reporting why people are getting new phones, basically.
Oh, hey, that's who I worked for.
So this includes people hitting their phones with a hammer and saying, hey, it's under insurance.
Yeah, could be. Well,
there was a ton of people that would come in and say, okay, so I had a case on my phone, except that I dropped it on a very sharp rock.
Yeah.
Also, there's a nail through it.
Also, I was using it in the shower. That was a common complaint.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe what happened. What percentage of people admit to using their phones during sex?
Using it?
Mm-hmm.
Admit.
Yep.
10. 10%. Wait, does this also count people who are using their phones to video or photo?
No.
Or to research on the fly how to be better at.
I'm going to lower that to 3%.
I mean, I've never done that, but I feel like it probably happens a bunch. 20%.
20%?
Andy, I think your original 10 was right on there, so I'm going with 10.
3%. I would like to think that people are more intimate.
I would too, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, we're being realists, Andy. Don't look so sad.
So 20% of young adults between 18 and 34 admit to using their phones during sex. This study didn't say whether they were just checking the time or tweeting about what was going on.
Why are you doing either? This is a very intimate moment, stupid.
I mean, I could see checking the clock, but I guess that would count.
Yeah, but what it doesn't say, Andy, is that they're both using their cell phone during it. Just so it's fair.
Got their arms around the other person's head. So what was the most expensive cell phone bill ever?
Ooh, it's got to be about those pay-to-win games.
Well, yeah, the in-game purchases go straight to your cell phone bill, right?
Yeah.
$10,000.
No, I've heard of a $5,000 bill, so I'm going like $5,200.
I think it might be even higher. Like, I had, wasn't a cell phone bill, it was a phone bill, but I had one that was in the thousands once.
Ooh, what?
How did you do that?
It's sort personal of a long story later. For the podcast. Basically, I was, my internet was dialing long distance and I didn't know it.
I did that to my parents with AOL.
Whoops. Yep, same thing. Anyway, I think 100,000.
Woo! Well, Kelly is the closest without going over.
Oh,
wow.
My first thought was those poor parents.
Yeah. So Celine Ahrens runs the cell phone account for herself and her two deaf-mute brothers. When her brothers went on a two-week trip to Canada, she neglected to switch them over to a roaming plan. The data they used, along with 2,000 sent texts, racked up a $200,000 bill.
Depending on your cell phone provider, they could actually switch that posthumously.
That's what I was going to say.
After she committed suicide over the bill.
They went ahead and switched her plan over.
Her carrier graciously offered to reduce the bill to $2,500, which still seems pretty damn steep.
Those saints.
I didn't really have any terms because it was all stuff that I'm sure you guys would know.
Let's do it like old people do. What is lol?
Yeah, basically.
Lots of love.
What is a loot box?
It was interesting doing the research for this episode because so much of the statistics on cell phones are targeted at scaring old people. Like, one of the ones I kept seeing was like, it says that 80% of people use their cell phones within 5 minutes of waking up. It's like, well, yeah, because most people use it as their alarm clock. And if they don't, they use it to check the time. Like,
I use it within seconds of waking up to hit the snooze button.
Right.
100% of grandparents are killed by ungrateful children carrying cell phones.
So we are on to our stories. So as I do with lots of episodes that have more bite-sized stories, we have four categories today. So where would you like to begin? We've got selfies, faulty hardware, being distracted, and being dumb.
Ooh, faulty hardware is a good one because I know there's a lot of explosive cell phones put up by Samsung.
I think we should go from whatever puts the person using it least accountable to most accountable.
Yeah.
So faulty hardware start.
Yeah. Well, in 2013, a Chinese woman's iPhone battery was getting low, so she plugged it in. A few minutes later, the phone rang, so she answered it. She never got as far as hitting the accept button, though, because she was electrocuted before she got the chance.
Death called.
Phones also have tasers inside.
Yeah.
There's the engineers figured it would work for something eventually.
It has a compass. It has all these different things. Come on.
So the details of her death are very hazy, but apparently she had a genuine iPhone and a third-party charger, and she was definitely electrocuted. So that's all we know.
As a person who uses cell phones, I always told people, buy a genuine charger.
And yeah. She had a fifth-party battery.
Well, the thing is that if you buy a third-party charger, it could screw your battery. It could just randomly stop working at an important time. Yeah. It could electrocute you and you die.
So the charger was blamed for the incident, though it was never conclusively determined if that was the cause. And in response, Apple said if you brought them a third-party charger, they would give you a real one for $10.
Who has that kind of money?
Yeah.
Do you have an unsafe charger? Give me $10. Yeah.
And then I'll tell you if it's safe or not.
Oh, nope. This one will kill you.
Give me another $10.
So in 2018, an Indian woman named Uma Oram was talking on the phone when she got an alert that her battery was low. Still talking on the phone, she plugged it in. Shortly after, the phone exploded against the side of her head, killing her instantly.
Like plugging it in is the problem.
Yeah, just never plug your cell phones in.
They'd be so much safer without power.
Yeah. So the phone claimed to be a Nokia, but Nokia claimed it was a knockoff.
Convenient for them.
Yeah.
The phone was telling her this?
Well, it said Nokia on it. I love Nokia's statement, though, because it shows that capitalism has no shame. So Nokia said, and I quote, "We can confirm that the mobile phone in question was not manufactured by HMD Global, the new home of Nokia phones, set up in 2017 to create a new range of Nokia devices. As HMD Global, we are committed to producing high-quality handsets which deliver a strong user experience and meet high customer expectations."
And almost never explode against your head.
No, the one she had was no, comma, Kia.
Also in 2018, also in India, a man named Nazrin Hassan went to bed, but before he did, he plugged in his cell phone on his bedside table. That was his last mistake.
You know,
practically everyone does. While he slept, his phone's battery exploded, setting the room on fire and killing Nazrin. Nazrin had two phones, and everything was pretty burned up, so the lawyers from both companies are diligently working in their offices to blame the other company.
No, you're the asshole. Two phones, though.
Yep, he had a BlackBerry and a smartphone.
Well, there's your problem. The BlackBerry is not a smartphone.
Yep.
His pager tried desperately to save him.
And that's all we had for faulty hardware.
We're working our way up, so what are the categories?
Left, we've got selfies, being distracted, and being dumb.
I think being dumb should be last.
Okay.
Let's go with being distracted for 100.
Okay.
So in 2010, an unnamed American teen was texting while driving down the freeway. Unbeknownst to him, the semi-truck with no trailer in front of him had come to a stop. He hit the semi and ended up sitting up where the trailer is supposed to plug in. The school bus behind him couldn't see the stopped semi, hit the semi and ramped up, ending up sitting on top of the teen's truck. The bus behind that bus, which also couldn't see, hit the first bus and finished pushing it all the way up on top of the semi's cab.
And then the steamroller behind them all,
yep,
who couldn't see the buses
because he was on his phone.
Yeah. So that was about when the whole catastrophe came to a stop. In the end, the driver of the pickup and one of the bus passengers was killed. And there's a pretty crazy picture that we'll link on our site, and it basically looks like a bus is lying on top of a semi and there's like two wheels poking out from in between, and that's about all that's left of this guy's truck.
Oof.
Why couldn't the buses see?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Were they also on their phones?
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like it.
Drive my school bus, check my Facebook.
So it was later found that in the 11 minutes leading up to the crash, the teen had sent 11 texts.
11.
Jeez. Yep.
So he was definitely texting. So in 2015 in Guangdong, China, a woman just kind of strolls into the street while looking at her phone. Two full-size trucks are just about to pass each other, and then there's her right there in the middle. She blindly walks into the second truck, stumbles back, and in a bout of tremendous misfortune, she hits the ground and her head falls directly into the path of the tires of the first truck.
Oh, dear.
And that's it. She died. Pretty much instantly.
Stop texting.
Yeah. There's a video of this one, and it all happens pretty fast. Like, neither of these trucks are, like, flooring it or anything. Everything's just kind of going slow, and she just kind of goes bonk, flop, splat, and that's it.
Here's the thing about these episodes of Acid Pop is Sean always brings pictures and videos.
Yeah, I do.
He comes prepared, Andy.
I watch a lot of gruesome things for you, dear listeners. This one is not gory at all. The video of this is, like, from a security camera, like, on the top of a building on the corner. So you just basically see her fall and then disappear underneath the truck. But it's not hard to imply what happened.
Fill in your own nightmare images.
Well, but we saw that escalator video.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad. So in 2017, in New Braunfels, Texas, Jack Dylan Young apparently took a combination of clonazepam, Ambien, and Lexapro before hopping behind the wheel of his pickup.
Okay, he's already made a few pre-cell phone mistakes.
Yeah. Here.
Let's go back to the recording.
Can anybody not make a pre-cell phone mistake?
Feeling that this wasn't dangerous enough, he then took out his phone and started texting.
Jesus.
Shortly after, he hit a bus carrying 14 members of the New Braunfels First Baptist Church. Jack and the driver of the bus were the only survivors.
No, Jesus willed it.
So now Jack is facing a jail sentence of up to 270 years for 13 counts of intoxicated manslaughter. Which,
good luck.
That's a pretty fancy thing.
Here's
to go
the thing
to jail
about
for.
Life sentences is that 250 years, why would you even just say life?
Yeah, at that point.
Right.
Now what if we invent immortality? Then he's going to get out eventually.
We got to test it on somebody. Those prisoners are first in line.
It's true.
If we invent immortality, then call me the Major and I'm going to be tearing the tops up horrible tanks. It's a Ghost in the Shell reference.
And that was it for our being distracted, so I guess we're on to our selfies.
Oh.
So in 2014, a Polish couple on vacation in Portugal were taking some selfies in front of Coba de Roca Cliffs.
I see where this is going.
Suddenly, a tree fell over and crushed them.
Oh, man.
So they didn't feel like their first few really captured the cliff, though. So they climbed over the safety barriers to get one more scenic shot.
Why is this a thing?
Couple more steps back. One more.
Yeah.
This cliff isn't cliffy enough.
They were much happier with the new batch and took one more step back to get that perfect shot. Unfortunately, there wasn't one more step to be had, and the pair tumbled hundreds of feet to their death.
They hung in the air until they looked down.
Meep, meep.
Unfortunately, the couple's two children, ages 5 and 6, watched in horror as their parents died due to vanity.
Yes. No!
One of them's going to turn into some sort of supervillain.
Yeah.
It could be.
Waging a war against cell phones. I just imagine them sitting there like, you kids stay here. It's way too dangerous.
But why wouldn't you include your children? Okay, so.
I mean, I wouldn't want the children to be included at this point.
Well, no, I wouldn't either, but why wouldn't you include your children in your selfies? They're part of your family.
They're always messing up the selfies.
Deadly, deadly selfies.
Look, you kids are ugly and we're too handsome.
Going for that tragic look, a drunk Mexican man named Oscar Otero Aguilar decided to take a selfie with a gun pointed to the side of his head.
Oh, no.
Turns out the gun was loaded, which he learned when it went off through his forehead.
Ugh. Bad trigger discipline.
Yeah. He managed to stay alive long enough for emergency services to arrive, but died on the way to the hospital.
Man, it's true. You're not supposed to keep your finger just off the trigger completely.
Yeah. Seriously.
Always.
Or just, you know, not have a gun.
And don't point guns at your head.
Probably don't have a gun. I mean, and if you do have a gun, probably don't point it at your head.
They say you're not supposed to point your gun at anything you don't want to kill.
Exactly.
kill his lack of Twitter followers. 18-year-old Romanian Anna Ursu was trying to come up with the ultimate selfie. Struck by inspiration, she grabbed a friend and ran to the train station.
Ooh. Can see the threads coming together.
There, Anna and her friend climbed on top of the train to snap some shots. Now, they weren't stupid enough to try and do this while the train was moving, but it was about to move, so the electrical lines powering the train were fully charged. Anna never actually touched a wire, but when her foot got too close, the charge jumped to her, delivering 27,000 volts.
Oof.
Well, that'll make her learn her lesson.
Anna basically exploded and caught on fire.
Jeez.
Her friend was thrown from the train in the blast, and a very brave train passenger grabbed a fire extinguisher, climbed up to put Anna out, and she was rushed to the hospital. It was there that she died due to 50% of her body being burned.
Oh.
Now, I have an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that when people are struck by lightning, they rarely die? When they're electrified by man-made electricity, they do die.
I think you do mostly die when you're struck by lightning.
Do you?
I'm pretty
There's
sure.
There's that one guy that survived like 7 and then killed himself.
Yeah, it's definitely possible to survive, but just like everything else, like electricity doesn't actually kill you. It just burns you. So,
yeah. Well, and a lot of it has to do with the route that the electricity takes.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason why more people might survive lightning is because it's just over in a second.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you're right next to a train wire, that stuff's not going to stop until you're gone.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. This next story sounds fake. So I tried to do my due diligence. As far as I can tell, this story is completely true. American Courtney Sanford was driving to work one morning when the incredibly infectious song Happy by Pharrell Williams came on the radio.
Okay.
Like Sean is telling the truth.
Really getting into it, she snapped a shot of herself singing along and posted it to Facebook with the caption, "The Happy Song makes me so happy." While doing so, she drifted over the center line and slammed into a recycling truck, where her car burst into flames and she died.
Was a gremlin.
Car accidents make me sad.
Police were investigating the crash, looking for signs of drug use, alcohol, or a hit-and-run driver, when Courtney's friends sheepishly came forward and drew their attention to the timestamp on the post and how it exactly coincided with the crash.
Hey, guys.
I was going to argue there was no way they could know what she was listening to, but I guess she announced it to the world.
Yeah.
As far as dying words go, the happy song makes me happy. Not poetry.
Well, you could do worse, I guess.
The happy song makes me sad.
And so, for our final category, we're on to just being plain dumb.
Perfect.
So in 2013, in Palatine, Illinois, which I actually lived in Palatine, Illinois.
I was going to say, I've been there.
Yeah, weird.
Roger Miro, who lived in a condo, accidentally dropped his phone down the garbage chute. He told his wife he was going to look for it.
I'll be right back.
Borrowed the trash room key from the building manager and headed to the basement. When he hadn't returned in 3 hours, his wife called the police.
I thought he was just going to dive in the trash chute.
Yeah, that one might have been better.
Whee!
So it turns out that Roger went to the basement, propped a ladder against the building's large trash compactor, climbed up, and once there, he either slipped or was struck by more garbage coming down the chute and toppled in. His falling body triggered the automatic compactor.
Oh, no.
And with no handholds to climb out or helpful androids to stop the machine, he was crushed to death.
Oh, man. That's a hell of a way to go.
Yeah.
Just another trash compactor at a ditch level.
3PO!
And man, like, can you imagine, like, being the coroner on that one and, like, trying to get the body out of, like, a solid brick of garbage?
No. I did find his phone, though.
Totally fine.
Figure. 7 missed calls.
Mm.
Somebody's blowing him up.
Wife, mistress?
2014, in Bartonsville, Illinois, Wendy Reibolt was asleep when the basement of her home caught on fire. Wendy and her daughter ran from the house, but once in the street, Wendy realized she forgot her phone. Without a moment's hesitation, she charged back into the blaze.
I've got to Instagram this.
A neighbor tried to follow her and drag her back out, but was pushed back by the heat and smoke.
You don't understand. Siri's in there.
The fire department arrived and put out the fire, but not soon enough to save Wendy.
Wendy, I'm talking to you posthumously.
In your next life, remember.
Just stop.
Well, she'd made that list of the three things you'd save from a fire, and she wanted to, you know, stick to it.
Yeah.
Smartphone was number one.
So in 2018, in St. Clair, Michigan, an unnamed retired police officer stopped at a gas station to fuel up. While doing so, he noticed three shady characters in a car up the road. Upon returning to his car, he noticed his cell phone was gone. He knew there was something up with those three. He took off on foot after the car, shouting for them to return his phone. When the other car didn't stop, he pulled out his gun and opened fire on it.
Excuse me?
The car sped up and rounded a corner as the former officer pounded after it. Legitimate police were called to the scene. They arrested the former officer, took statements from the three men in the car, and found the missing phone under the seat of the driver's vehicle.
Oh, America.
It was those kids. They put my phone under my seat.
I swear they were black.
Don't understand.
Sound reasoning.
Please tell me no one in the other car was injured.
No, no one died. But he did shoot out one of the tires.
Oh, no.
Well,
he's a super bad
shot. I was just
thinking,
like, he killed one person in the other car, and that's why they were super speeding off.
Wouldn't you speed off if somebody was shooting at you?
No, I'm going to go a leisurely pace until someone's dead.
until there's a death, there's no run.
I tried to look up some of the aftermath to this, since this was a former police officer, just like, you know, how's this all going to shake down? And the last thing that I saw, this happened in 2018, was that basically the chief of police had handed over the case to the lawyers, essentially, and they were like trying to figure out what to do. And in an interview with the
arrest
chief,
him.
Yeah, in an interview with the chief of the police, he was just like, I don't know what the hell is taking so long. I'm just as frustrated as the rest of you.
Like, that's one of the things that confounds me about a bunch of ex-cop kills a man. No reason. Like,
And that was the last of the stories that I had. Anybody have any good smartphone stories?
We got hit by a woman on her phone before.
Yeah, I mean, there's no saying absolutely for certain that's what happened, but Kelly and I were at an intersection once when a woman ran a red light doing about 35 and never seemed to hit the brakes and slammed into the front of our car. When we got out and were checking everything out, in the center of her windshield was a spider crack. So something directly in front of her face hit the windshield hard enough to crack it. I can't imagine her glasses or earrings or anything would do that. So I'm pretty sure she had her cell phone up. When
she was doing contact juggling like the Goblin King while it happened.
Yeah.
And her glass ball cracked it.
It was pretty great because, well, I mean, it wasn't great because we were in an accident, but basically,
I got it.
It was pretty great.
But she ran a red light. Like, that's what happened. And the guy that was sitting next to her stopped at the red light when she blasted past and hit us. He came up and gave me his card and was just basically like, if you need anything, you know, you call me. I saw the whole thing. And
awesome.
By the time we got home, my insurance company had called me, and this other woman had called my insurance company, blamed me for the accident, rented a car, and sent the bill to my insurance company. And they were like,
oh, damn.
And I hadn't even talked to my insurance company yet. This all happened on my drive home. And they were like, what do you have to say about this? I'm like, what I have to say is you need to call this number and talk to this man.
And he was an actual angel.
Yeah. Like, he not only talked to my insurance company and her insurance company, but the police officer. So I imagine this guy was on the phone for like 5 hours answering questions and like he did it all. And in Washington is a state where it's like a percentage of blame. So, you know, like if you back out of a parking spot and you hit somebody, you're not entirely responsible for that because the other person could have taken action to get out of your way.
Okay.
Washington is one of a few that the percentage of blame thing is a thing.
Yeah, it's really weird. So in a situation like this, there was a case to be made that I could have seen her coming and not hitting the brakes and shouldn't have pulled out into the intersection. So I could potentially have been responsible for some of the blame. But I'm pretty sure that once all the insurance companies found out that this woman was a damn liar, she got 100% of the blame.
Yeah, what a bitch. Like, getting so on top of it, calling your insurance and renting a car.
Yeah. So I never did send her an email being like just rubbing her nose in the whole thing, but it was really tempting.
I have the only car accident I've ever been in was I was rear-ended coming out of at an intersection, and it was a yellow light turn, so you have to wait and see if mm-hmm. people are coming. I stopped, the lady rear-ends me, and as I look back, she already has her phone in hand.
Yeah.
Her claim was that her brakes just don't work.
Not a great claim.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be in your car then.
How did you get this far?
I called my insurance company. They're like, okay. We're like, yeah, this lady's crashing like three people.
That's how she stops without her brakes.
So that was that.
Yeah.
And her insurance paid for the whole thing, except that they only paid for a rental car for me for one day.
Wow.
It was the fanciest car I've ever been in.
Set you up with a Lamborghini.
It had everything, and it had it went from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds.
As a sort of a closing coda, I didn't really go into the statistics on using your phone while driving. And it's just because none of the information that I saw was convincing to me. Pretty much every site that I went to get data from was like, I have a daughter who was killed by someone texting, so let me tell you how horrible this is. And there's a few things that are undeniable. The rate of automobile accidents in America was going down pretty steadily for about 30 years. And then in the mid-2000s, it started to go back up again and has continued to go back up. That's fantastic. True. And that is probably as a result of smartphones. But a lot of the statistics that I saw were things like 1 in 4 accidents are caused by people using their phones while driving. And there's like 2.5 million accidents a year that are caused by driving. And like two statistics that I saw on several sites back to back was 1, 2.5 million car accidents a year are caused by cell phones behind the wheel. And 2, there currently isn't anything in place for police to report when a cell phone was involved in an accident. They always have to report it as like user error or something. So it's like, how do you know that all these accidents were caused by cell phone accidents if the police didn't report it as such? Like, where did you get that number from? So yeah, I wasn't convinced by enough of the data to put it in here. But that being said, don't use your phone while you drive.
No, public service announcement.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're moving at all.
Don't do it.
Stop. Yeah.
Don't make us talk about you on a follow-up episode. Yeah.
Adam Kelly, any stories from you guys?
You told my story.
I don't know. I don't think I've had any like incidents with phones.
Windows phone.
I have a Windows phone. That's hardly like an accident.
It was an accident.
All right. Well, in that case, we'll move on to what are your morals worth? So nothing gruesome today. I would just like to know how much I would have to pay you to never have a cell phone again.
Oh, dear.
I could do
now,
that.
You can have a computer. You can even have a laptop. You just can't have a cell phone.
$1 million.
Not even a dumb phone?
Not even a dumb phone.
What about a pager?
You can have a landline. Yeah, you can have a pager. Why not? What are you going to do if you get a call?
Go find a payphone. Oh, shit.
$1 million.
$1 million?
Yep. I like my cell phone.
Your number was so high it made Adam go through puberty.
$1 million. I like macaroni and cheese. That doesn't mean I'd take $1 million to give it up forever.
This is one of my main connections to the world at this point.
Yeah.
It's not even that for me. Like, I just feel so unsafe. Like, I know I was fine in the world before I had a cell phone, but the idea like that I could be somewhere and not be able to contact someone, or that I wouldn't be able to be contacted if something bad happened, is terrifying to me.
And that's kind of wild. Like, I used to wander off and my mother would have no idea where I was for hours.
You used to have to meet people at the movies and just agree on a time before you left the house.
Oh, and then you'd get there and they'd wanted to see a different movie.
Yeah, my family used to meet when my parents, you know, when I went to see my dad every other weekend, we'd meet at Nyack or Strawberry, and which for everyone listening to this is about an hour between Sacramento and Reno. So it's a 2-hour drive, and that's right smack dab in the middle. And when it was snowing, one of them would make it and the other wouldn't, and there would be no way to tell the other person.
Well, that's because it's only snowing on one side of the pass for 2 hours.
I mean, there's been days where I forget my phone at home, and there is sort of like an anxiety that goes along with that, but I think I could get over that, like, in a week or two.
Well, Adam, you're so strong.
I've thought about this, is that we're a generation that didn't have cell phones.
Yeah, we're like the last
generation.
For a good
part of our childhoods.
Yeah.
I had a cell phone when I turned 16, and it was one of the brick Nokias.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so I could tell my mom I got to school or to an event.
Yeah.
I didn't get my first cell phone until I was in the Navy, and they commanded me to get one so they could contact me.
In the Navy.
John, didn't you buy me a phone?
I did. I bought you your first cell phone.
I love you. Oh, goodness.
Million.
I'm having a hard time with this. Yeah, I guess if I had $1 million, I could put other... I could pay someone to follow me around with their cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, just hope you dress them in a giant cell phone costume so everyone would know.
Well, yeah.
I would dial the numbers on their stomach, yeah, and then they would dial the actual phone.
Prison Break style. I'm just going to tattoo all of my numbers to him.
Yeah.
I got another contact, bitch.
Let's go to the parlor.
But I pay him too well for him to quit.
Man, my butler, yeah, named him Rolodex.
Dex for short.
Like, it'd be one thing if this was like just going without a cell phone for a year. But
yeah,
you said this is like forever.
Mm-hmm. Never again.
So, I mean, $1 million seems high, but I mean, I'm going to
just imagine what phones can do in 10 years.
That's true.
That's true.
Take the million.
I'm not going for $1 million.
$2 million?
Oh.
Now, if they're in the future, like installing software into our head so that we can contact people, is that under the ban?
I'd count it.
I'm not going to go down that road.
I'd count it. It's still a way of... That's not a landline of connecting to people.
Yeah,
yeah, let's say
my computer.
Yeah, say other than a laptop, you can't use any mobile device.
Okay. I mean,
my iPad.
They're like tablets and cell phones. Like the line between them is getting fuzzier.
Well, yeah, that's why we just banned them.
I guess I could use GTAT on my laptop and just bring my laptop everywhere. Okay, I'll take 500,000.
Okay,
Adam's bidding for lower.
I am. I was thinking 100,000 sounded nice, but I could probably go lower.
Ooh.
What? Oh, man.
I don't need a cell phone.
Yeah.
There's most days I despise being able to be contacted all the time.
Just ignore people's texts.
Yeah, and then I'm the jerk.
No, I never saw it. I didn't get your text.
Well, without a cell phone, I really didn't.
Andy, you're always saying that to me. Now I know the truth.
Kelly, I really don't get your text.
No, but for you, it's true. I just say it to all those other people.
I didn't see any of those baby pictures. Send them again. Send them again.
So yeah, I think I'll just go 100,000. Like, again, it'd be one thing if it was for just a year, but for the rest of my life, I'm going to need a pretty hefty compensation.
Yeah.
Not $1 million.
I went hefty.
Yeah. The thing for me is that I do use my cell phone, but there isn't much I do with my cell phone that I couldn't also do on a computer. And the only time I'm not within reach of a computer is while I'm driving, when I don't use my cell phone anyway. So like I drive to work, and at work I can use my computer. And then at home I've got two computers. So, you know,
I use them both at once.
Really, all I'm saying is that I can't use a phone while driving.
Or if you like get broken down on the side of the road, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I could just flag somebody down, you know.
Then
yeah,
just hand somebody $1,000 and say, hey, call my wife.
Yeah.
I'm very wealthy. Help me.
So Adam's current predicament is his cell phone doesn't contact anybody.
Well, yes, it does.
And he talks with his girlfriend through his computer.
The only issue I'm having right now is that Mercy doesn't have like a cell phone plan. So I use like free apps on my phone to contact her usually.
And a Windows phone.
But the Windows phone stopped being supported by Windows October last year. And now these apps are like slowly breaking one by one and nobody cares enough to fix them.
I'm impressed you've made it almost a year with a phone that's not supporting you anymore.
Either way.
All that being said, I don't think I can go quite as low as Adam. So I think half of Kelly, 250,000, is about as low as I can go. All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at AcidPopPodcast and contact us at AcidPopPodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, I think I got one.
Okay.
Wait for Andy to stop moving. I mean, you can come sit down if you want. You don't have to tiptoe like a cartoon character.
But we prefer if you do.
Ding, ding, ding.
You and Sean were singing the same song at almost the same time.